Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, I'm not wearing my hat. I'm letting my locks flow here through the pandemic. I got all dressed up because Don has put together an all-star lineup here in January to kick off the new year. We had no idea there was going to be insurrection at the Capitol. We knew about the pandemic and COVID. And Don, you know, you put this whole thing together, and we've taken a whole turn on federal government and stuff. But I think our next guest is studied up on this sort of thing. So I think a protege of yours as well. This is going to be an interesting conversation. I'll let you do the honors as a former Baltimore County executive yourself.
Well, it is a pleasure to welcome my county executive. We've had all kinds of county executives on today, but it's a pleasure to welcome back the Baltimore County executive, John Oshefsky Jr. Johnny, how you doing?
Good, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to be with both of you. Thanks for having me on yet again.
Before we get real serious, Ravens going to win Sunday.
Oh, here we go.
Have to. I mean, we're actually, Don, I spoke to our mutual friend, Dick Cass, earlier today.
There we go.
Talking about how well we think they match up. I know that like every game is its own game, but I think given the history with this Tennessee team recently, both this year, last year, third time is the charm, I think. And we've also had a very successful playoff history with them, notwithstanding the tough loss we saw last year. I think we win. I've got us going deep in the playoffs this year. I think that they've just started peaking at the right time. You know, you sort of see that the things pick up. Could be a tough AFC Championship and Super Bowl, but I think we're going to win a couple games in the postseason.
Well, you know, I do still do a little coverage. Just a chance for me just to say, I spent the whole early part of the week before, like, the U.S. Capitol, like, talking to Matt Stover and talking to Jared Johnson and talking to Blaine Bishop and talking to half of Nashville about the bombing there and all of that. You find all that at BaltimorePositive.com, so we get a little football in, too. I like that, Johnny. I like it.
Nestor, the last football question, were you there the day that I'm assuming you were when Ray Lewis grabbed the ball from Eddie George?
I was sitting with Kevin Eck, who's, you know, my lifetime best friend, certainly at that time, 20 years ago. And we were holding on to each other and jumping up and down in the upper deck as Ray took the ball and rumbled. It's a moment you never forget. Literally, you can never forget where you were when that happened, right?
Yep.
The hard part is it was 20 years ago, so it's getting harder to remember.
Well, you don't look it for what it's worth, Nestor. So,
Johnny, I appreciate that. It's all the bro cream and the Aquavelva. Listen, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, you know, you're a citizen, I'm a citizen. We got a lot of Dundalk, we got a lot of background, a lot of everything. We've seen Trump supporters. We've dealt with all of it. Wednesday, you know, I was in between segments literally talking to Matt Stover, and I stopped out. Anthony Mitchell, by the way, do I remember that game, Don? Anthony Mitchell, I turned him down. He called me. He was in the airport. He was about to do a segment with me. I'm like, no, 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 dude, I can't talk to you. I mean, the Capitol's under siege. That's how I found that on Twitter. Where were you, Johnny-O?
I was in my office making calls and catching up with people and in between meetings. I was actually on a call with when things really started taking off. I was with the other county executives of the central region. We do a weekly call on Wednesdays of all the major jurisdictions, county executives. And I had said to them, I said, y'all, I think we might have to hop off because this is getting serious. Down in the Capitol. Actually, at that point, the county administrative officer for County Executive Elrich in Montgomery County had said that their officers at that point were being asked for mutual aid dispatch. So it was a moment where, like, I knew it was serious and things were not moving in a positive direction. And
I think, it's a national state of emergency, even at your level, right? I mean, it just is. Like, it was a 9/11 kind of moment, I felt.
Yeah, so we, you know, in Baltimore County, I was actually ended up working with our police chief, Chief Hyatt, and we were spinning up and being prepared for anything locally and or to support our sister, our sister city or region in the, you know, the greater metro area down in DC. And, you know, we actually had a request in from the Maryland State Police. We actually had police officers prepared to be deployed on Wednesday. I went and addressed them before that what we thought was going to be them leaving. I was in the command center with the Chief Hyatt, monitoring DC, monitoring Baltimore area. It was very surreal, and you know, it's one of those things where, look, peaceful protest has long been a bedrock of our republic, right? It's enshrined in the Constitution. It's a key tenet for a lot of the progress we've seen in this country. But what happened yesterday was not protest. It was a riot. It was an act of sedition. It was an act of terror by a mob who went in, desecrated our nation's capital, trying to overturn the results of an American election. It's an election that, you know, for us, and Don, you appreciate this, right? Like state and local election officials across this country. So I don't care if you're in Baltimore County, Maryland, or Fulton County, Georgia. Like these folks are professionals. They put aside their partisan badges when they walk in to do that job, and they do it professionally. And to see what happened as a parent, as a teacher of history, as an American, it was heartbreaking. And you know, like history is instructive, right? It's something that hasn't happened since the War of 1812, except this time it wasn't a foreign invader. It was Americans conducting the looting and you know, doing the act.
Johnny, that was one of the sickest parts, is they're doing it in our uniform, right? They're doing it with an American flag around them as though they're doing it for my uncle who died in Vietnam, right?
That's right. And look, let's be clear about this, right? This has been done because there is an American president who for 4 years has knowingly and purposefully made baseless claims about many number of things, and more recently about the integrity of this election, and who, building upon this false narrative, has fanned the flames of conspiracy theories. He has encouraged behavior that has led to the storming of the halls of Congress during a session to count America's electoral votes. So, I mean, let that sink in. I mean, I don't know that for me, the gravity of what has just happened has fully sunk in.
What I'm trying to figure out is, what do we do to punish these people? Like, what at what point are they still citizens of our society to have done that? On a 9/11 scale, I can't fathom what the punishment could be to send them back to Lutherville and let them live in your district or mine.
You know what else, Johnny? You made what? Nestor's right. I don't know how you punish these people either. But you made. It's funny. I hadn't heard this point made before. You just made it, and I thought, damn, Johnny's right. And that had to do with local election officials. And I was thinking of Baltimore County, and I was thinking of Director of the Board of Elections, Katie Brown. And I thought to myself, I've known Katie for 25 years. I have no idea if Katie's a Democrat or Republican. When you said that, I thought, you know, I just realized.
Well, Johnny, I spend a lot of time with your pal Todd Schuller, and he tells the tale of
I'm
you.
I'm sorry for that, Nestor.
Yeah, you know, it happens. We go, hey, yeah, man, Dundalk and Essex and Calvert Hall, we're all playing nice here. We're doing the right thing. But he tells the tale of you and he and your elections mutually, where literally – You know, win or lose, you're there watching every vote, knowing this thing is on the up and up, and believing that in your soul, and never having a moment, win or lose, on both sides, where you feel like this thing wasn't fair. And you've had personal experiences. Everyone who's ever run for office has, right?
Yep. And you see it with Katie Brown in Baltimore County, and you see it with the Republican Secretary of State in Georgia, who says, we've reviewed this. These are legitimate results. And anyone who claims differently, I mean, it's been reviewed by state election officials. It's been reviewed by state courts. It's been reviewed by the Supreme Court. At every turn, those claims have been rejected. And so I think, you know, in this moment, now that with what happened on Wednesday at the nation's capital, it's critical that leaders at all levels of government, federal, state, and local, leaders of all political stripes, step up and speak out against this attack on our republic, on our democracy, on everything that we stand for. And, you know, I want to applaud Governor Hogan for coming out and saying it's in the best interest of this country that President Trump either resign or no longer serve. However that happens. I mean.
Well, a week ago, and you mentioned Katie Brown. Can you imagine her taking a call from the President of the United States and Mark Meadows and Lindsey Graham coercing her to change the votes of your constituency? Can you imagine that?
No, it's uncharted territory, and you know, I think the county executive makes a really interesting point, Nestor. You said to me off the air earlier, I was saying, county executive to Nestor, oh my God, at least on 13 more days. And Nestor said, I've broken up with some girls in my lifetime in the last 13 days.
I have fired employees in the last 13 minutes. We're 13 minutes too long, like literally, right? So I think breakups are hard all the way around. And we're now getting down to this. Where's the country going to go? And that's for all of us. And, you know, and Johnny, for you, you know, all the Dundalk things, I look at both of you as history teachers who ascended to county government and serving people. The history of this is lost on a lot of people. A lot of people need, we talk about education in Kerwin all day long and all the things we're trying to do to get Don's daughter and people back to school and all of that. There are not enough people in this country who have a really solid foundation of history and weren't taught by Mr. Schley at Holabird the way I was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a very famous saying, those who fail to remember history are condemned to repeat it. And shame on us if we forget this moment. I think this will be a stain on our country for the remainder of the time that it exists.
Well, and you know, it felt, Johnny, as I was, I mentioned this earlier in an earlier podcast, but you'll appreciate it. I was downstairs and I had some things to do yesterday and I thought, well, let me watch the beginning because I want to watch to see what Vice President Pence does. And I certainly want to see what our friend, the speaker, does, because we all love Nancy Pelosi from Little Italy. And I wanted to see how she handled the situation. And then I thought, I'll at least watch McConnell, because evidently McConnell has said this is going to be the most important speech of his life. So I watched McConnell. And then I said to Linda, said, I'm going to go upstairs and work for a while. I'll be back down because they're going to debate for a couple of hours. But I'll be back down shortly. And I wasn't up here for 10 minutes. And she came in. She never comes in typically when I'm working. She said, you need to come down. And I said, what do you mean? She said, they've taken over the Capitol. And I said, what do you mean? She said, no, they're inside the Capitol. And that's what you said, Johnny, the thought of not realizing that and repeating it. I think it was one of the most terrifying moments that I've experienced. And I'm an old guy. It's right up there with 9/11 for me, in a moment that I'll never forget.
Yeah, Mike Pence was scared enough to call in the National Guard because he and his family were under the desk.
Right, so it was terrifying. Well, let's talk about something much more positive. I smile, Johnny. It comes up on my Facebook timeline. It's been a couple of weeks, and there it is, December of 2018, and I'm handing the keys over to the 14th County Executive. Now, the joke of that is you and I never open a daggone door. We don't even know what the keys open. But I gave you the keys.
They're
anyway.
There, though, right?
Yeah, nice keys.
Someone has them.
It's a nice symbolic gesture. If we ever had to use the keys, we're in trouble. But I gave you the keys. You have had, it's been 2 years. I imagine it feels like a blur, but I want you to talk a little bit about it, because I want to tell you from my perspective as a Baltimore County citizen, you have been going, and your team, 120 miles an hour, and you haven't done little things, you've done big things. So we want to give you the opportunity just to sort of walk our listeners through the 2 years and those things that you've done that you feel so proud of.
Yeah, I mean, first I'll say, I think you had it right. You hit the nail on the head, Don. Like, it's the team, right? And I think that's the thing that I'm probably most proud of, in terms of as a leader, the people that you surround yourself with, I think is reflective and instructive of who you are and what you're able to accomplish. And that has certainly been true here in Baltimore County these last 2 years for me. I would say the other thing is it's not just what we've done, but how we've done it. And I think bringing to government service, this ethos and this sort of belief that, like, it is about relationship with the people you serve. And it's about sort of that level of transparency and engagement and honesty that has really, I think, fueled our successes. I will say I'm biased, but I think if you look at the body of work, setting aside the fact that we've been dealing with a global pandemic for almost half of our time in office, it's really incredible. it's really incredible. And so, you know, like you, Don, things usually start and end for me on education. Record funding, 2 years in a row, one of the largest increases in maintenance of effort in our first year. We were able to continue that maintenance of effort this year.
Colgate Elementary is going up like the Emerald City.
Colgate's going up. It looks amazing. We are working to get the job done. All of the local funding is in place for the Schools for the Future program that you and Kevin Kamenetz helped start, Don. We're waiting to get the state funding to match it. It's been my highest priority every legislative session. It's just a veto override away this year, so I'm excited about that. We have started with a new high school over in Lansdowne. We have built out a 10-year plan that acknowledges that there are needs all over this county for our high schools, which we're going to meet all of those needs, whether it's the Laney, Lansdowne, Towson, the Southeast. You know, Sparrows Point Middle School and High School is the only one in the county that is joint. They're overcrowded. There's overcrowding in the Northeast. They need new schools and renovations. So, but having a plan is really critical, and I think we're meeting the need there. We've done a ton of work on transparency and engagement. We have this open budget process now where people can drill down to the contract level of where their tax dollars are going. We created the county's first ever Inspector General. Kelly Madigan is doing an awesome job. Lobbying reform, that open budget platform I mentioned, the Citizens Election Fund. We created BC Stat, which is the county's performance management countywide system where we're using data to help inform and drive progress. We have been active in the public safety space. We passed the SAFE Act to take stolen guns off of our streets and keep them off the streets and out of the hands of violent criminals. We took immediate action in the aftermath of George Floyd by passing legislation that would ban the use of chokeholds, that implemented and codified our de-escalation training.
By the way, whole segment on that training with Julian Jones, where you can go find that.
Johnny, I want to jump in just for a second. I want you to keep going. But we also had Dave Rose on, president of the FOP Lodge in Baltimore County, and he was very complimentary, and he was very proud, and I think people would be shocked, and that's why we wanted Dave on. Mm-hmm. Dave said, you need to understand, I was at the table with Councilman Jones and County Executive Olszewski. Yeah. We worked together on this police reform legislation. That's a breath of fresh air for folks, Johnny.
That's right. I mean, it goes back to like the how people are treated, all of our stakeholders, right? We heard, you know, I was marching with protesters peacefully and without violence in response to George Floyd. And I heard the calls, and we brought those calls to the table. We brought the council to the table. We brought the law enforcement to the table, and we forged a bill that not only the FOP and the county supported, but that Republican members of the county council support. And I want to applaud them for also stepping up, because that's not what we're seeing in this country. We're seeing more division. I mean, again, like we open with it, right? Like we're seeing more division than ever before. But in Baltimore County, we are tackling these very hard conversations. We're coming out of the shadow of Spiro Agnew in terms of government transparency and reform. We are engaging in police reform and gun legislation. Both of those bills were bipartisan. Like, you don't see that in the country, let alone in this state. And so
it doesn't just make your job easier. It makes life for the citizens better. Right?
It makes it better for everybody, because everyone has a seat at the table and all of the voices are being heard. And look, I'm going to disagree with, you know, you're not going to agree with everything I do. But if you genuinely feel like I care about you and I'm listening to you, and when I think there's space for it, and when there is space for it, we are incorporating your perspective in our governing, even though, you know, we might not have the same political party, that's how you drive progress. And that's what we're doing in Baltimore County. It's how we solved with a bipartisan vote, the structural deficit of tens of millions of dollars. It's how we put a path forward on the environment. We brought on Steve Lafferty. We launched a landfill to gas conversion program to generate clean energy out of our landfills. We're on track to get our renewable energy goals met. We restarted glass recycling, which stopped back in 2013. We stood up the first ever circulator in the county that has been a longstanding priority for Councilman Marks and folks in the Towson community.
He's a very happy camper about that, Johnny. We had him on, and he can't wait to get the first ticket on the circulator. So make sure that Councilman Marks gets seat number 1A.
Yeah, well, yeah, I say he'll get the second ticket. I'll take the first one, but we'll ride together. And that's what we do. We ride together, right?
And Johnny, so like, I mean, you know, you talk a little optimism here in the things that you're doing, and that's, you know, and even the PR side of the good deeds and the good work that comes out of this. Tell me what Biden and the Senate, how is that going to affect a place like Baltimore County that, if we can get government working together, because we talk so much about divisiveness, yeah. And you dropped the name of one of your Republican friends who we've had on the program, who's been very sensible. And, you know, Larry's been mostly sensible down in Annapolis. And I know you've had some differences as well. And yeah. We all do. But thinking like we're all like in this thing together, mm-hmm. for Biden and Kamala and now for Congress after what happened in Georgia earlier this week. I know it's a tough day to talk about it after mm-hmm. we saw a siege in our Congress 24 hours ago as we're sitting here watching it. But this hope part of, hey, we're getting it together, and maybe the city will get it together, and then the state will get it together, and the country, and we can get it all together, and that 5 years from now, we can look back on this. Maybe you're in a second term. Who knows, right? Well, we're employment, normalcy, no masks. We got ball games. We got beer. We got walks in Oregon. The normal things that I think for all of us a year into this pandemic, we're all wondering where normal is going to be, but normal is only going to happen when we're together, and that certainly wasn't going to happen with the other guy running the country.
That's right. I mean, you look at, I'm very grateful for the CARES funding that we did get early on in this pandemic. That $140 million is the difference between having the ability to quickly and easily stand up testing and contact tracing, business supports. We've pushed tens of millions of dollars out in all of these spaces. You know, frontline, essential pay we did for a while. We have stood up business supports. I mentioned we've given $11 million to our school system so that they can be prepared to reopen as safely as possible. And, you know, that's what happens when Congress was functioning. And then on top of that, local and state aid, you had the PPP grants that help businesses stay afloat. And then the dysfunction set in. And so I think what I'm encouraged about with this new administration, what I'm encouraged about with hopefully a Congress that wants to work and partner with the president and vice president. Again, like we can disagree, but like there are incredible needs in this country to get through this. Like there's a light at the end of the tunnel now that vaccines are starting to be distributed, but we've only got about 10,000 vaccines as of today in the arms of our first responders and our healthcare providers.
If they brought you 700,000 or 850, however many people it is in Baltimore County, and they gave you the shots tomorrow morning, do we have a plan? I mean, do the state, what is the plan?
We do. We actually walked through our plan today, and we will be setting up pods of 1,000 people all over the county. So there will be equity will be addressed, access will be addressed. And every time we can do it, this is sort of the, I guess, the dry run for when we start vaccinating the public. But in Baltimore County, we will let no vaccine go to waste. Someone will get vaccinated if we have access to it. Now, to your point, Nestor, right? Like this shows the failure of national leadership, because it's sort of, we're at the end of the supply chain. So the feds don't really talk to the states very well. There's not a strong national strategy on vaccination. So the state gets the shipments, then the state ships them to us. And then once we get our shipment, a week later, we are setting up as many pods as necessary to put those vaccines on the street. So, you know, but for example, our first batch of 100 doses, hours later, they were in the arms of our first responders and healthcare workers. And, you know, Dr. Branch is doing a great job here in Baltimore County. We're prepared. We're responding. It could be better if we had more support upstream. But you know what? Like, that's what we do in local government, Don, right? We make it work. We meet the need. And yeah, look, if we had 850,000 vaccines dropped on our doorstep, I want to make sure that for every single Baltimore County resident that wants to get vaccinated, we will find a way to make sure it gets done.
Donnie, I know you're at the end of the food chain on that, and I appreciate you talking about vaccines. Based on the information that you've been given by Dr. Branch and others, when would you think regular citizens will actually be able to start lining up and get a needle in the arm? What do you guys hope in terms of timeline?
So I let me say it this way. I think there will be sort of just general access, and again, this is dependent upon distribution, manufacturing, supply chain. But my gut is that we are a couple of months out still before sort of mass public availability. So probably sometime this summer is where vaccines will be fairly widely distributed and available. That does not mean that citizens who aren't first responders can't get a vaccine, because you know, certainly members of long-term care facilities and nursing homes are prioritized now. Older Marylanders and Baltimore County residents will be prioritized.
I thank you for that. I thank you for that. we older Baltimore County citizens can't wait to get in line, you know?
But it goes back to being data-driven, right? So, like, we know that in Baltimore County, 80% of our deaths for COVID-19 have been associated with someone living in a long-term care or nursing home facility. It only makes sense that you go to the places where, where we can do the most good.
Data-driven government. There you go, Johnny-O.
That's right.
But I'll
say, if I can use the opportunity, like, for anyone listening and watching, is like, so as we get to that point, like, please, like, just dig deeper for a little while longer, because we are almost there, but people are still getting sick. People are still dying. And, you know, how many people die between now and that sort of herd immunity is dependent on us. Are we wearing the masks? Are we practicing social distancing? Are we being responsible? Like, it's on us. Like, but we know the end is in sight. And I know that this is oftentimes the hardest part, but it's also the moment that should inspire us the most to lock arms and not only defend our democracy, but lock arms and beat this virus.
Listen, I know people would think it's probably super cautious, but, you know, my three grandsons, I mean, I love it. I like to think they love it. They watch Ravens games here, but we all watch them spread out and masked up. So, I mean, I've got, you know, three young boys and my son, and we all have masks on and we're spread out around the room trying to be safe. So, Johnny, I know your staff's going to be pulling at you in a moment or two, and I don't
want to. He breaks the rules with everybody else.
I know. I don't want to abuse their time. But, you know, you talked about so many big policy things you did, but I was struck recently. You made three different announcements, and maybe you can just briefly take us out of here with them. I was struck again by your desire to engage the public in all the decisions you're making. It had to do with school construction again. There's this 10-year plan out, and I see that once again, County Executive Olszewski and his team are going to be asking the county to weigh in on that. I thought that was, you know, really, really encouraging. I was really fascinated. It's not probably doesn't affect a lot of people, but for those it does, it's important, was that you eliminated those fees for folks on home detention. I thought that was significant. And then you capped the fees for home delivery carryout apps. So the three different kind of things, maybe you could just highlight those three, because I think it really captures the scope of what county executives do.
Yeah, I mean, it's we try to pursue equity and fairness in all of our decisions. It's a principle of mine. It's a belief of mine. You know, most people on home detention are not violent offenders. They have not been convicted of anything. And so we've been placing, especially in COVID, this burden on people who are awaiting trial. And it's actually, you know, a fraction of the cost to have people in home detention versus to have them in our jail. So it was an issue of simple fairness to eliminate those fees here in Baltimore County. On the school stuff, we actually had over 20,000 survey responses to help inform the non-biased, non-partisan work that was done to put recommendations forward. But once the recommendations were forward, we said, you know what, let's engage yet again. And it's just, you know, this work, as Don knows, takes us in all the directions and all the areas that matter, including, restaurants and bars being a critical part of our economy and, you know, taking action to help cap them being taken advantage of by some of these third-party apps at a time when they were, you know, struggling the most.
And I was going to ask you, what have you learned about that? Because your name comes up in, you know, in blue terms on my timeline when you shut restaurants, Brandon, everybody. We talked to Stuart about it earlier, and the lawsuits and all that. What have you learned about that this year? Because that's something you take the job. You didn't think you were going to be shutting governments down.
And this is going to have to be it, because we have to stay on the good side of Johnny's staff, or they'll never have us back. So wrap us up, Mr. Exec.
Well, I mean, and so, like, I'll say two things. First is it's holistic, right? And so, like, in the Ville, we got the county's first ever arts and entertainment designation from the state. So it's like, how do we holistically support our communities and our businesses? We do things like A&E designations, ramping up tourism spends and a strategy there. But then like on hard decisions about closure and limitations, more recently, our numbers have been relatively more favorable. They are still far too high. But we've been able to stay aligned with the state restrictions. But it's you talk to people. It's that relationship. It's you talk to your health officer. You talk to your hospital. I mean, I talk to my hospitals in Baltimore County every week. But you also talk to the restaurant owners and the small businesses who are impacted by these decisions. And you try to these are not easy decisions because we have a 360 view of what people are up against. You know, I've talked to too many people who've lost next of kin. I've talked to small business owners who spent their entire lives building something. I've talked to people who are afraid of losing their homes. Like, it's all very real. So you just surround yourself by a really strong team and you like believe in the data-driven governance, relationships matter, communication's key. And if you do all those things, you just hope that when people look back on your leadership through COVID-19 and your time in office, they say, you know, I'm glad I voted for that guy. I'm glad that he's a guy I support. So
Don's going to make me take long walks through Oregon Ridge here this spring just to make sure that I'm doing it. He's upset that I keep taking walks in Howard County, yeah. Rufford County.
Johnny, he's going on and on. I love Calvin.
Territorial, man.
And I love Stuart Pittman. But he's going on and on about with them about what great open space.
I'll go up to Honeydew Park. I'll get some Chinese carry out for crying out loud. Johnny, we appreciate you, man. Take care of yourself. Go run the county. Stay safe out there, okay?
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you. There he goes, Johnny Olszewski, the county executive, Baltimore County, where WNST was founded, hosted, and still lives, including Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. On behalf of both of them and all of our great sponsors, including some Fadley's Crab Cakes, where I miss going over and just sitting down and getting a proper beer and shucking a couple. But you can have them delivered from anywhere in the country, just one click away. And, of course, our friends at State Fair and El Guapo will get back over. There you go. There's Catonsville. That's in the 21228. I can get everybody's approval on that. I am Nestor. He is former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. Together, you can find all of our work at Baltimore Positive.